writing effective LTEs and working with print media. That's what we're talking about tonight. And this is just an overview for you guys, since we are talking about print media tonight, the communications department of Citizens Climate Lobby. So Steve Falk is our director of communications. And then I'm Flannery Winchester. I'm the communications coordinator. So together, Steve and I are the national staffers that provide support for you guys out in the field, as you work to get media published. So that's letters to the editor, op-eds, if you need help getting a meeting set with an editorial board to generate an editorial, endorsement of Carbon Fee and Dividend, things like that, that's what we're here to help you do. And we also, just for general awareness, we also are the ones who coordinate with national media to try to generate coverage of CCL, of carbon pricing, that sort of thing. So if you're ever thinking to yourself, oh, somebody should talk to this reporter at the Washington Post, that's what Steve and I are doing. So you're always welcome to send us emails if you see articles that you think need follow-up or things like that. So the learning goals for tonight's lesson, at the end of the hour, I hope that you guys will feel empowered in these specific ways. So you'll leave understanding the different ways that your chapter can work with media. You will be able to identify and take advantage of good letter to the editor and op-ed opportunities. You'll be able to boost media coverage of your chapter through meetings, and specifically that means meetings with editorial boards and press releases. And then you'll also be able to learn more with resources on CCL Community. I'll show you where you can dive a little deeper into each of these topics after tonight. So our agenda tonight, first we'll cover why we work with media, then we'll cover letters to the editor, then we'll break out into our breakout rooms. We'll do a little partner activity around letters to the editor. Then we'll cover op-eds and editorial boards, press releases and resources, and then we'll have some more time for Q&A. We'll jump right in here with why work with print media. So we know for sure that Congress pays attention to local media in their district. This is how Congress really keeps their finger on the pulse of what's going on at home. And particularly if media mentions a member of Congress's name or, you know, another issue that they're particularly interested in, this is something that they keep a close eye on in general. So the more that we can show up in on this platform where they're paying attention, the better, because it raises the profile of climate change in their awareness, and it shows them that people at home really care about it. Another reason to work with print media is that it has a wide audience. There's still, you know, depending on the size of your paper, there's still thousands, potentially tens of thousands of people receiving that paper every day. So as we get our message in there, that's reaching a lot of people in the community, which is helping to build build political will for action. And yeah, so that's the third point there, raising the profile. All of this presence in the in print media is going to help just boost the topic of climate change for your neighbors, your city council members, your, you know, fellow churchgoers, anybody that is in the community, as well as your member of Congress. So it's really a valuable space to be in. And this is just something to kind of give you a marker. 4,223. That's the number of media pieces that CCL volunteers had published last year. So that's huge. And we're, in true CCL fashion, we have always grown just exponentially in terms of the meetings we set, the media we get published, the outreach events we do. So no pressure, but you guys can be part of helping us surge past that number for 2018. So first we'll talk about letters to the editor. A letter to the editor is really just what it sounds like. It's a letter to the editor of your local paper. And the first thing to consider is, when do you write one? So you want to think about letter to the editor opportunities. So newspapers print letters that respond to articles in the newspaper. The way you find these is you read the paper every day, and then you write within a few days of an article being published. They are less likely to publish something if you write in about something unrelated to anything that they've covered, unrelated to your town, that sort of thing. So that's the value of reading the paper. You can kind of think of it as a conversation between you and the editor. They've put out a piece, you're responding. And then the way to tell what articles are the most valuable to respond to is you can kind of think of the news hierarchy. So editorials are one of the most valuable things to respond to in your newspaper, because that's coming straight from the either the opinion page, the editor himself or herself, or an editorial board. That really is the voice of the newspaper. So if you're responding to that, that is that's a good sort of conversation between the people putting out the newspaper and the people reading the newspaper. The next options would be front page stories. That's obviously big news, so you can weigh in there. Staff written columns would be next. Local op-eds, so perspectives being shared by other people in your community. And then on down, things like editorial cartoons, a syndicated columnist, other letters to the editor even, or inside news stories. So if you're looking to determine what's a good opportunity to write, you want to aim for those first few things. Editorials and front page stories are going to be your best options to respond to and increase your likelihood of getting published. And then the other thing to keep in mind is that there's strength in numbers. So the volume of letters really signals how interested the community is or the audience is in a certain topic. If several letters to the editor are submitted that are focused on climate change, then the editor is more likely to run one of those rather than if they just got one random letter that would signal, oh, people maybe aren't as interested in this topic. But if they get three or four letters, then they say, oh, okay, this is an engaging topic. This is generating conversation. I'll pick the best letter from this group or the most representative letter from this group and publish it. So this is what we call the LTE formula. And this is a way to kind of just break it down really simply for you. I know some people have kind of in their minds, they think, oh, I'm not a good writer. You know, it's the way some people have it about math. They think, oh, I'm not good at math. But really it's just about learning how to do it and the skills, and you can become a good writer. You can become good at math. I can't help you on the math part, but I can help you with the writing. So the formula that we have here starts with step one. You want to reference the story or a specific part of it. So as an example, you could say something like, thank you for Monday's piece on Hurricane Harvey, or whatever more recent event has happened in your area that the newspaper has covered. So you want to reference the story. Then step two is you want to transition your letter into how that subject relates to climate change. So in our example, our second sentence might say, scientists tell us that carbon dioxide emissions are warming our waters, fueling stronger hurricanes. Then step three, you want to identify a solution. So in our example, we would say, we should reduce those emissions with a carbon fee and dividend plan. Step four is you want to give a call to action. And this could be to readers, to the community, or to your member of Congress. In our example, we've used the member of Congress. So we'd say, I'd love to see Representative Smith support this in Congress. And then the fifth step is to close your letter with something creative. But of course, always keeping in mind CCL's values of respect. So you want to find something kind of punchy and maybe a little bit sassy, but we never want to cross over into rude or snarky. We really want to try to be thoughtful and respectful here in this platform as well. So in our example, We could say something like, after all, the next Hurricane Harvey could be right here at home. So something that's just going to kind of tie it all up nicely with a little oomph at the end. And then here are just a couple other tips and protocol to keep in mind. You want to be respectful and conversational, like we talked about. You don't want to turn people off immediately by writing in a way that raises hot button issues. So you might think, well, that's tough because climate change is already sort of a hot button issue. But there are ways to, you can avoid certain buzzwords. You know, you don't want to charge out of the gate saying, oh, all these climate deniers are, you know, dragging our country down, like things like that. You don't want to use those sorts of buzzwords and a tone that is not that's not in keeping with CCL's values. And then you also don't want to lecture or just regurgitate a laser talk. Really try to be conversational with your letter so that it sounds like a real person wrote it. Another thing to keep in mind is be inspirational. So don't go too heavy with the doom and gloom. If you do give a dire warning or talk about the, you know, how serious the problem really is, then just make sure that you always couple that with a solution. That helps people not shut down emotionally, mentally, and be more receptive to the idea of taking action and solving climate change rather than just being overwhelmed by it. And then lastly, you want to be strategic. So as in our example, we mentioned our member of Congress by name. That's a way that that can be very effective at making especially sure that the letter gets on their radar. And if you do this, you can try to include values that resonate with that person in your letter. So if you have a member of Congress who is particularly involved with the military in some way, you can mention the, you know, connection between climate change and national security. You can try to think a little bit the way you might think in a lobby meeting, which is, what does this person care about? And how can I connect with them to show them how climate change is related to the issues that they are also prioritizing? So that's all the how you write and when you write. And this is a little bit of what you write. If you're, you know, if you sit down, you say, oh, well, there's a great piece that I want to respond to, but I'm not actually sure what to say. Here are a couple key messages that you cannot go wrong with. So the first one is, scientists agree. Virtually all climate scientists agree that man-made climate change is happening. So it's definitely happening, and it's definitely us. That is something that we cannot repeat enough. There's still a lot of confusion out there about that after years of very intentional sowing of doubt. And so anytime that you can repeat, we know for sure that it's happening and we know for sure that it's humans, that's a valuable message to get out there. Another valuable message is that there's a solution. So carbon fee and dividend is a climate solution that's good for the economy. The REMI study shows a 50% reduction in carbon emissions and an addition of 2.8 million extra jobs in 20 years. That's good news. I have yet to meet someone who doesn't want there to be plentiful jobs in our country. That is a great talking point to get out there, to show people that this, what we're advocating for, has been evaluated by top economists, and they have found that it will be beneficial in these ways. It's always good to include in the letter if you can. And then another good message to include is that conservatives are on board. So this number is changing so often that it's hard to keep up with it. So you would put in whatever the current number of Republicans and Democrats is. Now we're up to 43 Republicans and 43 Democrats in the Climate Solutions Caucus in Congress. So you can mention that group in your letter as a point of showing that there is consensus being built, there's progress being made, and we just want to see more of that. You could also mention groups like the Climate Leadership Council. Now there's also the Students for Carbon Dividends. There's Americans for Carbon Dividends, groups that are also advocating for a fee and dividend style solution. So here is an example of a letter to the editor that was actually published from one of our folks. So you can see that it starts off acknowledging what it's responding to, which is news that Congress approved almost $8 billion for Hurricane Harvey relief. And then this author makes the pivot to climate change, which is step two. So they say, use the word supersized and talk about how the, you know, hurricanes are growing in strength. There, we're having more frequent and more intense storms because of climate change. She also adds a nice personal touch by talking about being a fifth grade teacher. And that's really valuable too. That's not in the formula, but that's something that if you can do that, you know, talk about something local to you, talk about something personal to you. That's really valuable because that's what the newspaper is looking to do, is highlight voices from the community. So that's a could give you an extra boost there. She actually rolls step four and step five of our LTE formula into the same sentence right here at the end. So her punchy ending is also her call to action, which simply says, price carbon now. Very clear, very direct. So that's a great example of one letter out there in the world. So now we're going to practice. So what I want you guys to do is with your partners, discuss which LTE opportunity you think is most appropriate for you to respond to. Maybe you're just drawn to one or the other. Maybe you have a particular point you'd like to make, so you want to go with that one. So pick one, and then together brainstorm a few points that you could make in a letter to the editor responding to the article you chose. So you don't have to actually write anything right now, but just go ahead and start thinking through with your partner, okay, if this article showed up in my newspaper, how would I respond to it? What would I say? How would I get my point across, and how would I make it hopefully interesting and effective enough to hopefully get published that you can work with? So since you're in this program, this core volunteer training, I'm assuming that most of you are relatively new to CCL. And so I want to introduce you to this idea of having an LTE writing team or a letter writing team. If you, as you sort of notice how things work in your chapter, if you see that your group leader is the only one who's maybe identifying LTE opportunities or the only one who's saying, hey, you should write a letter about this, then that's a great opportunity to take something off of their plate. They've got a lot going on. And to see if there's maybe anyone else in your chapter who wants to be on a letter writing team with you. And then you guys can find the opportunities. So if you were to form an LTE writing team, as I said, the first thing you would be doing is identifying those opportunities. One member or a couple of you in that group can plan to scan the paper, find those LTE opportunities, and share them then with the rest of the team. So you can send those out, you can make sure that the people who want to be writing know what they can write about, and then you could also even share drafts of your letters with each other, or you could, I know some groups who get together once a month at like a Mexican restaurant and they order a pitcher of margaritas and they write letters. So you could write together in person. Anything that sounds interesting and fun to you to give you more support with the letter writing. And then all of this is gonna help you get more published. So when you have a dedicated team that's focused on reading the paper and writing, then your LTE numbers are just going to go through the roof. And the key point there is you want to make sure that someone either in your writing team or in your chapter is filing a field report with headquarters about each letter that you get published so that we know about the success that you're having. And then this answers the question that we just had about, is there a list or a database of letters that have been published that you guys can look at for inspiration? So if you go onto CCL's website and go to the published media section, then this is a you can see editorials, articles, op-eds, TV and radio, and letters to the editor. So if you click on that letters to the editor tab, it will show you the name of the paper, the name of the city, and then the title of the letter. And unfortunately, it's not as sophisticated as being able to have a link and to just take you right there. That would have to be a manual process, and then our IT director would never get anything else done but this page. And so, but what you can do with the information on here is you can just type that into Google, and then it should pull it right up. Moving on, the other media opportunities that we'll touch on quickly here are op-eds. So an op-ed really is just like a longer letter to the editor. Letters to the editor are usually 150, 250 words, depending on your paper. Op-eds can be anywhere from 600 to 700 words. So if you want to write an op-ed, similar to an LTE, you have to pick your topic. So you can write about something in the news or something that should be in the news. And you want to keep your topic broad enough that you can write several hundred words about it, but still specific enough that it's newsworthy. So you still kind of want to have a timely hook or a reason to be writing about that when you're writing about it. Op-eds usually take a little more research, a little more writing, planning, so that you don't just go off the rails in those 600 words. You want to stay focused, make sure you hit your main points. So I encourage you to read a lot of other articles about the topic so you kind of understand the conversation around it. And then make a 6 or 7 point outline of what you want to say so you can follow that as you write. And then with an op-ed, you can also suggest a headline. If you are having trouble writing a headline, that's a clue that maybe your piece isn't as focused as it could be. So you should be able to boil it down into a quick, catchy little headline. And other tips for getting your paper's attention are to keep it focused on your local area, and to also drive it home, again, just like the letter to the editor, with a call to action and with a creative closing. And occasionally we send out op-eds from our executive director, Mark Reynolds, to all the groups that they can pitch to their local papers. And so this is one we sent out at the beginning of the year, after the State of the Union. And so on the left is the Winston-Salem Journal picked it up. And then on the right is one, a Spanish language outlet. We actually, we have a Spanish language action team and they translate a lot of our materials. And so they, also pitched the Spanish version of this op-ed. But again, you can also write your own, submit your own, and Steve, Valk, and I are here to support you if you have any questions or ever want another set of eyes on an op-ed that you're writing. So another way to engage with media is to meet with editorial boards. So the value of this is that when you go in to a meeting, it's actually very similar to a lobby meeting because you're going in to educate them about our policy, about our organization as well, and then to see if they'd be interested in taking some action around it. So when we're lobbying, we want them to support the legislation. But when we're meeting with an editorial board, what we want them to do is ideally write an editorial endorsing the policy. Which is kind of a big ask because there's not even a bill of carbon fee and dividend in Congress. So to ask them to endorse something that is still kind of theoretical is a big ask, but a lot of newspapers have done it. There are lots of editorial endorsements of carbon fee and dividend out there. So it's a great conversation to have. It's a good thing to forward along your relationship with your newspaper in your town. And to request a meeting, just like with a letter to the editor, you want to watch for a good opportunity. So you want to see what the newspaper's talking about. If there's an editorial specifically an editorial, since you're going to the editorial board, if there's an editorial that you can make a connection with climate change somehow, then you can reach out, make a little pitch in your email, doing the same kind of thing you would do in a letter to the editor, which is acknowledging the article, then connecting it to climate change, and then instead of going through the other steps, then you would just ask if they're available to meet to talk more about these issues, and yeah, learn more about what you guys are doing in the community with your chapter. And then just be prepared to follow up. Newspapers are stretched thin these days. They're understaffed, they're overworked. And so be prepared to send them another nudge email in a week. And maybe if you don't hear after that, a quick voicemail, just to try to close the loop there. And then one other opportunity is to send press releases. So this is an example of a press release. So we occasionally will give you guys templates that you can drop in your local information and then send this to your newspaper. So the press releases, more often than not, are going to be going to the reporters or to the assignment editors rather than the editorial side of things. And the purpose of a press release is to say, hey, our chapter or this person in our chapter or something like that has done something newsworthy. You should write a story about it. So there's a couple different opportunities that are good to send press releases. One of the best ones is what's shown here in this example, is before people from your chapter go to Washington, D.C. for either our annual conference in June or our Congressional Education Day in November. That's a great story for local papers to cover, to say, oh, wow, five, you know, local Atlantans are headed to our nation's capital because they care so much about this issue. And then they can talk about the local impacts of climate change. And then they can get a couple good quotes from local people, snap a photo, and then there you go. They're done with their article. But the press release is the thing that kind of nudges them to understand that that opportunity for that article is out there. So the last thing I want to make sure you guys know is that you have a lot of resources available for print media. So we have several webinars that go really deeply into each of these topics that I touched on. So tonight we kind of went broad and not very deep, but there are webinars on CCL Community that go really deep into each topic. So if you think it sounds fun to write a longer piece, to write an op-ed, there's a webinar available that spends this much time talking just about tips for writing an op-ed and how to do it and how to make it effective. Same thing with getting a meeting with an editorial board. So there's lots of chances to dive really deep. And those are on CCL Community if you click on Learn and then Media Training and then Print Media. Another place where you can go is the Print Media Action Team. So this is kind of the national version of the LTE writing team I was describing for your chapter. So you can share drafts of something that you're working on within the team. You can ask for ideas or help, or maybe you could even look at national media and write a letter to the editor. Someone in my chapter a couple of months ago wrote a letter to the editor and got it published in the New York Times. So dream big. generally you do want to focus on local media. But anyway, the Print Media Action Team is a great place for support. And again, you can find that on CCL Community if you go to Connect and then into the Action Team's directory, you'll see Print Media. And then the last resource I want to highlight for you guys is the Media Tip of the Month. So Steve and I record a video that's usually just about 5 minutes long. We do one, try to do one every month. And the idea of that is that if you don't have time to dive into a full hour-long webinar and you just want to hear, okay, what's one thing that I could try that's going to help me do a little better that I should be thinking about, you can just watch those quick tips, like I said, 5 minutes, and then hopefully that will give you a little boost, give you some inspiration or some extra information that can help you be more effective. You're on the right-hand side of the slide. There's the email address for Steve Falk, our communications director, and for me, communications coordinator. So if you guys have any questions at all, you're always welcome to reach out to us, and we will support you and your chapter with all of your media efforts. That's what we're here for.